Keep it fresh, keep it local. Celebrate the heart of a community focal. From veggies to honey, there's so much to see. The Farmer's Market Podcast is the place to be.
Welcome to the Farmer's Market Podcast, your trusted source for all things fresh and local. I'm your host, Stephan Holt, and today we have a special feature farm that embodies the essence of regenerative farming. With me today is Amy Fulmer. She is the owner and operator of Odin Hollow Farm. Welcome to the podcast, Amy.
Hey, how are you?
I am doing fine. So tell us a little bit. You are at the farm right now. I'm glad we got you on the line. Tell me a little bit about Odin Hollow Farm. How did you guys get started?
So we bought our property in 2019, I think. Just a lifelong dream, something I'd always wanted to do. And in 2016, we really started trying to make steps to sell our old house in a subdivision in Simpsonville and move out to the country and start a little homestead, farm, whatever you want to call it. So it's been a slow growing on the business side, but this past year we've been really gung-ho about trying to turn it into more of a business.
That's where we met you guys, where you guys were at the Frosty Farm Farmer's mm-hmm. Market, the Winter Farmer's Market right there in McAllister Square. Tell us, we know kind of where you're located. You've got a little homestead kind of nestled in the Carolinas. You've got a lot of things going on the farm. I think you mentioned pasture-raised pork. You got eggs. Everybody, eggs seem to be the thing right now.
Yes.
You've got some iCorn baking mixes, which you'll have to explain a little bit about what that is. And then, of course, you've got tallow, lard, and a lot of goat milk products.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more
about
it.
Yeah, we have dairy goats. Yeah, that's who I'm talking to. I'm hanging out here with my so this is a lady.
Right.
Very, very much my baby. And then the rest
that's
of them
awesome.
Are all about to have, she's not pregnant, but this one, and that one are all about to kid in a couple of days. So that's what I was just
doing,
cleaning out stalls to get ready for births, hopefully in the next week or two. But going back to like the business side, yes, we have, that's everything that you listed, that's correct. The pigs are our biggest venture right now. They're our newest venture. And I can walk you out there in a few minutes and show you the pigs. We're pasture raising them, but more like a woodland pasture. They were out on part of our goat pasture, but now it's more woodland, and that's where they're going to stay. The baking mixes that you asked about, that's kind of a small little thing that we're doing. I really love to bake. I realized very quickly that I do not enjoy baking for markets, which is a whole other story. So I thought the best way I could do it is to make mixes out of a unique type of flour and see if people would be interested in taking that home to baking them. Sometimes I have raspberry and blueberry lemon syrups to go with them that are fruit syrups, but kind of phasing that part out. But to answer your question about iCorn, it's an ancient grain flour. It's never been hybridized. It has a different genome when it comes to gluten. So a lot of people who are gluten sensitive can eat it. Of course, consult your doctor, try your, you know, I wouldn't recommend it for everybody, but it's got a higher protein content, higher vitamin content. So really, it's think of it as like an heirloom flour. A little bit more tricky to bake with. Definitely more expensive. But so if you're interested in brownies or pancake mixes, we have those. And I hope to extend that baking line. It's very passive. I'm very passively working on that as I work on other as I work on my other stuff that are more hands-on.
Give us a lay of the farm life. So you've got somewhat of a small to medium-sized family. I think your husband's helping out as well. Is that right?
Yeah, my husband works full-time, so he does a lot around the farm. But, you know, around work, we have three children ranging in ages from 2 next week. He'll be 2 next week for our youngest, and then our oldest is in 6th grade. So we have a big age gap there. And a
Wow, that's a that is a busy farm for sure.
Yeah, it's that's the hardest part is juggling the toddler. He stays home with me and I'm home full time taking care of the farm and making products and trying to figure out how to do everything around him. And quite frankly, a lot of my items that I make, a lot of my products are what can I make around my toddler?
Interesting.
So that's
okay.
Kind of where we go. I used to do a lot of goat's milk soap. I love making soap. I can't make it around the baby. So for now, that's kind of a pause button. until he's off in school or have, you know, more help or something.
So whose idea was it, or was it a joint venture? And it's something I don't know. Are both you guys looking forward to doing this full time, or is this just a part time thing? Or?
For me, it's full time. It's definitely, I quit my corporate job a little while ago. I went down part time last May, and I fully left in November, because my thought process being, if I don't give it 100% of my efforts, it's never going to go anywhere. And I mean, I don't know if he would ever be able to. I don't know. That would be a great long term goal. I don't know if it's realistic. We only are 5 acres, so we're doing our best on 5 acres.
So how long have you guys had the farm, or you've been doing the farming?
We moved out here in 2019. We got our first animals a couple months after we closed on our house. We closed in like November, so starting in March, I guess, we got animals. So we've had, this is our 5th year milking dairy goats. Well, we're about to milk it once they kid. We've had chickens, you know, so everything since 2018, did we close on the house? I don't remember. It's been a while. It was pre-COVID.
So yeah, you started right before COVID, and then all the markets pre-COVID. Shut down, and you were trying to figure out how to do it.
I wasn't trying for a business then. It was more during COVID time. I was making soap, putting it on Etsy. I was laid off from work. I was just kind of, you know, enjoying my best life, making products and putting them on Etsy. And then my job asked me to come back after the layoff, and COVID kind of, you know, slowed down a little bit. And that's when I kind of hit pause on that everything again. So basically, that's why I left my job, is because I can't do both full time.
Wow. Oh, and where the history behind the name, see, Odin Hollow Farm. Mm-hmm. I don't know of any places in South Carolina with the name Odin. So where did this name come from?
I don't have a great story about that. Basically, when we first bought the place, like I said, it was more of just like a little homestead, maybe one day a business venture. And we just were sitting in the car one day coming up with names. And my husband likes like mythology. So, you know, it's Norse mythology, it's Odin.
Yes.
And I don't know. We were just putting words together. We don't have a good meaning behind it. We do have a little bit of Norse names on the farm, like my livestock guardian dog, Freya. She's napping right now. So I have a Freya. We have a couple of Norse names, but we used to have a Loki for one of our goats. We rehomed him a while back. Yeah, he
were was. You guys he fans of the name. Show?
Yeah, no, I don't have time to share. But no, but so we have a few animals. We have one of our goats is Hella. That's a Norse name, but we tend to stick with more nature names for our animals. So, okay. 11 was because that was her name at the farm she was born at. They named her, number was 11, and we decided just to keep that as 11.
That is awesome. Now how many goats do you have?
9 at the moment. I have 3 that are going to be milkers this year, 3 are yearlings that will be bred next year, and then a couple of bucks and a wether, which is like a neutered male goat is a wether. We have 9 in total right now, and that's about to change any minute. Like, well, hopefully in the next week we'll have a lot more babies.
That would be great if it was on the podcast. That would be awesome.
I mean, it could have been. I don't think they're going to happen today. Normally I can tell, you know, when it's like, you don't know exactly when it's going to happen, but you know when it's that day, like you're sure. Or I always am. So
what challenges have you faced while you've only been in year 5. So what, I'm sure you've run across some big hurdles and obstacles already.
Oh, goodness. I mean, well, when you add the dairy side in, I mean, that's, I say it's a lifestyle. If you have dairy animals, it's a full on 2 days, you know, twice a day milking. If you bottle feed,
you're milking every day.
Normally twice a day. Yeah. You can, eventually you can get down to one. You don't do it year round with goats. Most people don't do it year round with goats. You give them a couple of months break in the winter, give yourself a few months break. You know, since I'm still, you know, I've been pregnant during this, I've had an infant newborn during this. So some years we'll milk for 2 months, you know, we'll do what we can. It's always a lifelong dream. So there's been years where we've milked most of the year, you know, 6, 7, 8 months. And then there's years that we're like 2 months. Okay. We need a break. So that's
kind
of.
And what type of cows or what type of goats do you guys have?
Mostly Nubians. Some of them are mini. Where are you guys at? We have mini Nubians, but they're big mini Nubians. And then we have mostly full-size Nubians. And I'm getting some Saanen babies here in a couple of weeks. Wow. I might be getting some Snoobians in a few weeks too, which are Nubian Saunan mixes, but I haven't 100% decided on that.
Wow. And you're doing tallow as well, right?
Right. So I source the tallow from other local farms. I've been a soap maker, lotion maker, body butter maker for 12 years or so, well before I had the farm. That was a huge hobby of mine for, I mean, like I said, over a decade, about 12 years now. So somebody introduced me to tallow before it was a big trend, and I didn't really realize how big of a trend it was until I was selling it. I started making a body butter for myself during one of my pregnancies, and it was just something I, you know, didn't know was a big thing. And last year I started doing farmers markets, and I mostly had my soaps. I had candles, which I've gotten away from both of those, and I made a tallow balm. And that's when I started realizing it was a big thing. I'm not on TikTok. I don't really keep up with a lot of stuff. And all of a sudden I realized everybody, and I was like, oh, okay. I mean, I knew it was coming. I knew it was catching on, but I didn't really know. And then it just kind of got to be where I just started going more in depth with the tallow. And then since we now have our pigs and they've been processed, so I'm working on some lard hair care products, which I'll have out soon. But the tallow, I've just been making lotions for a long time, and it was just a natural step. And I like to look at it, you know, as a great sustainable waste product that we have that's a local, you know, that's produced by local farms. So why not? You know, I think it's great. I mean, I do things a little differently. I kind of focus on more emulsified. We do balms. I have a lot more emulsified products with tallow, which I'm not seeing other people in this area do. And that's something that you can come to my booth at the farmers markets to learn about. I can tell you about the differences, or you can go onto my website for that.
Mention your website. You definitely got to mention your website.
Yeah, it's odenhollowfarm.com. Bear with me. It's very much a baby website. I am trying my best between taking
You've got a lot of things in the fire. Yeah.
I was literally yesterday at the farmers market taking some pictures to redo picture like during downtime. And I have a photographer that I'm going to be working with here in a couple of weeks. We're trying to get our schedules together to have a really good website. But for now, it's me and my phone, and, you know, it's embarrassing. But
whatever works. So, people can go to your website. People can go to you and find you on Facebook. I know you're on Facebook. Are you on Instagram as well?
Yes and no. So there is an Odin Hollow Farm Instagram page.
Okay.
We kind of stopped really posting on it a few years ago, and I need to get back in there and take more control. I'm actually going to walk out here to the pigs and show you the pigs here in a minute.
Yeah, you got animals. People love animals. Oh my gosh. You're breaking up on me. Hold on one second. You're in transit.
Did I lose you?
Yeah, I think it's only when you cross. Okay. There you go. You're fine now. You're fine.
Okay. I'm going to try to walk out to the pigs, but if I can't, I won't. Let's see. It's kind of
The tallow. That's fairly recent. You've been doing the goat products, but you said you haven't been doing that as much since the baby came on board. But that's not, it's just because of time issues, right? Timing.
Yes. Yeah. It's time issues. And there's a lot of people who are great soap makers out there, and that's really all that they have, or that's their main focus. So sometimes I just leave things off in respect to other vendors. I really like being at the farmer's market. I love meeting new vendors. And if everybody has a certain product, then I'm like, well, you just focus on that. I'm going to focus on other things.
Is your core unique product if you were to say, okay, this is Odin Hollow Farm, this is what we do?
Well, I'm really trying to focus more on the animals and the food aspect. So we have a lot of great pork and sausages that we've had available for about a month now. And that's where I really want to be making a name for ourselves. And then the tallow, like I said, we do a little bit more unique, different tallow products. And that's another thing. So it's just, it's evolving. I get ideas and I try them out.
that's a great thing about having a small farm. You can literally try things out. If it doesn't work, you can put it off to the side and do something else. So how many pigs do you have?
And right now we have four. These are our current pigs. We are only doing Berkshire. Some people call them Berkshire, but they're the type of pigs that we're focusing on right now. We've had pigs for less than a year. I think we got them in June of last year. And not these. These guys are like, I don't know, 3 months old, maybe 4 months old. I don't know. I'd have to look in the calendar, but Right now, so we breed our dairy goats, like I've already mentioned, but we're doing mainly buying feeder pigs from other farms right now and growing them out. So we get them when they're like 5-6 weeks old, grow them out to the butcher weight, give them a nice little happy life here. You can see they're snuggled in the woods. Like they're happy. They're in shade. They got things to root around in, fresh, you know, we throw in trees and stuff for them, and they dig up their roots, and they're just living their happy best life out here. And we're pretty happy for them.
That is all. I've never had pigs on any place I've ever lived. Now, we have a small little farm. We do chickens. We've done rabbits.
We
tried goats. That's a whole nother story. You'll have to listen to one of the other podcasts, but that was it was a very nightmarish story. So we did not do any more goats. I mean, I think you're doing it the right way. You probably had these goats ever since they were bottle fed
I got them at 4 days old. My first goat.
Yeah.
Bottle fed them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the goats we got were not. So they were a little rambunctious. Let's just say that.
I mean, the pigs are super friendly. Like, for the most part, they'll let you pet them. Sometimes they'll get a little, just really cute. And, you know, we're struggling a little bit with being meat providers, to be 100% honest with you. We're just struggling with it. Like, we love it, and we love giving them a good life, and we love knowing that they're not stuck in a factory, and they're not,
you know,
you've seen the pictures. We've all seen the pictures of factory farms. So we love that, and that we're giving them a great life, and they have one bad day. But when we came back with our first batch of pork, we all felt a little guilty.
Mixed feelings.
We
raised meat rabbits, so we did our own butchering as well. Yeah. So yes, it's like, you know, cute and cuddly, and then it's like, but it's providing meat for your family, and this is why they exist. And you have to struggle with that as far as being a farmer. And I think every farmer kind of has that little internal struggle.
Every good farmer has that internal struggle. Like, I think that it's good that you're looking at your animals not just as livestock, but as living, breathing creatures that deserve to be loved. Yeah. So I spend time out here every day with them. And
do you name the pigs? Because that's one thing I know we didn't do with our rabbits.
We named our first batch of pigs. It was not a good idea. No. Oh my God. That's a horrible idea. I think
it's
that
not
was
a good idea.
No, no. It was a horrible, horrible idea. We have one that's named. I'm trying to find him. So there's one little boy, and we named him Crispy Bacon. I think that's Crispy Bacon.
Oh, wow. Do you invite people out to your farm? Do people come out to your farm?
No, not really. I would like to get to that point, but we're out in Belton. We're not super remote, but we're far removed from a lot of the bigger areas. And it's just a setup. We're small, and I would like to have more people out. I've had Girl Scout troops out in the past and taught them how to bottle feed babies and milk, and I'm always okay with planned small things, but not just open to the public. I'm also try to be safe.
I totally get that. So what is the future for Odin Hollow Farms? Do you guys have like a big 5-year, 10-year? If you could, let's say somebody just dropped a ton of cash on your property and said, do whatever you want, what would be the vision that you have for your farm?
Well, okay, so first project we're working on right now is really, you can't like see, but we have, it's about 3 acres of woods out here, and it's very private. Like, it's off of a different road than our houses. You can kind of see that road. So people don't even realize this is part of our property. So we're slowly getting it all worked out to have 4 pastures out here so we can rotate better. And they can just really, truly have a great pastured life out here. And where I'm standing right now is going to be like their central hub. And
so it's really getting more pigs.
Well, yes and no. So that's going to be, once we get that done, then, and that should be done by the end of the year. It's just time. My husband works a full-time job. He has to take care of the baby when I'm at farmer's markets. We're just, he needs to use like a week or two of vacation to get it all done. But so once we get this where we want it to be, which I said should be this year, I'm currently growing our dairy herd, as you heard me mentioning all the new goats I was acquiring. What I really want to do is I really want to build a grade A dairy facility, like a small little milk house. And I really think we can do that in 3 years. And then I'm not sure about having them out in those woods. There's a couple of things about them eating pines and stuff. I've been reading things online about. You read one thing and then you read the next. So we're just going to experiment and see if it works for us. But I want to rotate my goats out through here with the pigs, if that makes sense. So one pasture will have pigs, one will have goats, then we'll move them, and they're always being rotated onto fresh property and fresh pasture. So that's kind of the plan. And then okay. I would like to get a small herd, maybe up to 20. So like, we're at 9, but I'd like to have 20 or so, 25. And I think that we could do that on this.
So you property. Want to be a hub for pork and for goat milk products.
Right. Really, and I still make my lotions okay. and my soaps. I really enjoy that, but I really want to provide food to the community. I really want to do the raw dairy milk. I think that I'm in market research right now. I'm trying to figure out how much of a need there is, and there is. From what I'm getting back, there are lots of people, you know, there's lots of small little goat dairies around, but they're not enough for everybody who wants it. So
right.
I think there's
you're absolutely right.
Yeah, so it's an expensive project. I think that we could do it in about 3 years. I'm hoping that I can raise funds by selling pork.
That's a great segue. So where can people find you? I know you're at different markets, but list off, if you can remember from the top of your head, all the different markets that you're going to be at.
So I'm still doing Frosty Farmer until the end of April. So we'll be there. We're weekly vendors there. I am doing Greer Farmers Market now. They're doing once a month on Sundays until, May, the first weekend of May. So it'll be Sundays starting in May through the end of August. And we'll be there every week as well. So I'm really excited about that. Summer for Saturdays is kind of TBD. Most likely Easley. I've been accepted into that. I'm waiting to hear back from others, but I'm pretty sure Easley is going to be where we're at for this year. And then we're going to pop up when we can at this really cute little market in Liberty called the Market at 178. We did it last year. It's very small. It's very sweet. Like, I love it. They have great produce. They have a beef vendor. They have, you know, we'll have our pork there. They have seasoning. Like, it's great. Little market that has more than just crafts. I'll give you the more information too about that, but Market at 178, I just met with them last night, and I don't know how we're going to be at both, but we're going to figure it out.
There's an opportunity for somebody to maybe help out.
Well, they're going to do a Friday night market like once a month, so we're definitely going to do the Friday market, and then for their Saturdays I might see if my husband can do it. I don't know. That's TBD too. So definitely for Sundays, we're going to be at Greer.
Nice. All right. So Greer is a definite. Easley is a definite. We're not sure about.
Yeah. And I'm hoping for Bridgeway. I did their Christmas event. We haven't heard back yet. So I'm hoping at least just for the summer, if I do their market, it would just be June, July, and August because of school pickup time. I wouldn't be able to get there in time. During year. So that's a possibility too. So as many markets as I can get myself into, is where I will be.
What is the one thing or one big takeaway you can share with people about going to the markets?
All right. So the one thing is you can engage, you can ask questions, and you can also walk away. Like, that's okay. Like, I love it when some people will be like, oh, well, let me go talk to my husband and see if he wants this. But you know that they're just decided they don't want it and they want to walk away. But it's okay. But it's like, it's perfectly fine. I mean, you can, but I do have a lot of people who say, they'll come back. And then a couple weeks later, they're like, I meant to come back and here I am. So, you know, that's fine. But yeah, you can ask questions. And just because you're talking to me does not mean you have to buy from me. That's one thing I want people to know is they're free to ask questions and they do not need to feel pressured. I try not to pressure people. I always offer them samples, but I normally just say, hey, I'm here if you have any questions. If you want to try any of my samples of anything, just let me know, you know, for the lotions and stuff. And
definitely. Yeah. And any other stories that you could share with the audience in terms of, I know you've probably got one or two funny stories regarding the pigs or the goats, or maybe even with your kids. And the animals.
That just triggered a memory. Okay, so this was probably, my middle son, he's going to be 9 in a couple weeks. So he was probably 4 or 5. And we had a full-size Nubian buck. His name was Mateus at the time. And we were in the pasture with him. He was fairly gentle. He started to get a little aggressive, so we decided to rehome him. I'm pretty petite, and I had small children, and he was getting a little too aggressive to where I was comfortable with. But anyway, so one day we're out in the pasture and we're playing, and I'm brushing the goats and, you know, living my happy life. And I turn around, and my I don't know, 4 or 5 year old son was like headbutted like this with this big old buck, and they're like about to go, and my son's just grinning from ear to ear.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, ah, I like run and grab him, and he's like, what? And I was like, okay, that goat could have killed you.
Right. Oh my gosh. Yeah, kids don't know any better. They have no fear.
No fear. Well, yeah. There's never.
But you're a relatively new farmer. You didn't grow up farming, right?
No. My great grandparents had a dairy farm in Virginia and a goat or cow. And I've always really been interested in farming. It's something I've always wanted to do. But no, we are truly just learning everything. I mean, it is a huge learning curve. This is my fifth year kidding, and I still feel like I'm nervous and scared. Right.
So, yeah, you know. That's awesome. Well, hey, I wanted to thank you. I know you got a child that's about to wake up. So there's only like a 30-minute window of nap time usually. But I want to thank you for your time. And that's a wrap, folks. We made it together through this episode of the Farmers Market Podcast. In good spirits, a little humor, and lots of information. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of the Farmers Market Podcast. If you've enjoyed our segments, if you had an itching to shop local, you're officially part of the freshest crew around. You can catch every episode at thefarmersmarketpodcast.com. It's like visiting a farmer's market without the early wake-up call or the accidental tumble of tomatoes. We're also hanging out on Facebook, where you can find us at facebook.com/Farmers Market Podcast. Follow us, share a comment, or drop a photo of your latest market haul. Bonus points for oddly shaped vegetables. And hey, if you've got a farm, a market, or a great story to share, we'd love to have you on as a guest. Just visit our website, click Be a Guest, and let us know why you'd make the perfect addition to the podcast. And who knows, your story could inspire the next wave of local farmers and food lovers everywhere. All right, that's it for today. Thanks for listening. And remember, here on the Farmers Market Podcast, we keep it fresh, we keep it local. See you next time.
Strolling through the market, it's a beautiful day. Fresh picked produce just a step away. Meat and dairy from the farm to your plate. Homemade crafts that are truly great. Keep it fresh, keep it local. Celebrate the heart of a community focal. From veggies to honey, there's so much to see. The Farmers Market Podcast is the place to be. Learn about the farmers and the seeds they sow. The beekeeper's secrets and how gardens grow. Homesteading wisdom, tips galore. Every week, there's always more. Keep it fresh, keep it local. Celebrate the heart of the community focal. From veggies to honey, there's so much to see. The Farmers Market Podcast is the place to be. The cluck of the chickens, the buzz of the bees. Fresh air and sunshine, it's all you need. Connecting with the farmers, the crafters too. Every episode there's something new. Keep it fresh, keep it local. Celebrate the heart of the community focal. From veggies to honey, there's so much to see. The Farmers Market Podcast is the place to be. So grab your basket and come along. Tune in each week for the freshest song. The Farmers Market Podcast, it's where you'll find stories of the